name is Nicole, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Impact Wrestling August 7th preview conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Jessica Brown. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, and welcome to the August 7th Impact episode preview conference call. I will begin with a brief overview of this Thursday night's episode, and then we will open the lines up for our special guest, Bully Ray. Talent for this episode include Bully Ray, D-Von, EC3, Rockstar Spud, Gunner, Low-Ki, Austin Aries, and many more. Tune in this Thursday for Impact Wrestling, airing on Spike TV at 9, 8 Central. As we open the lines for questions in a moment, each of you will have the opportunity to ask one question of Bully Ray to begin. If time remains after a first round of questions, we will open back up for a second round. Operator, we are now ready to open the line.
Again, to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. That's star one. Your first question comes from the line of Richard Gray.
Thanks for speaking with us today.
No problem.
I just want to know, did you have any reservations about doing this? I mean, getting to put your boss through a table?
If you know the history of myself or of Team 3 or of the Dudley Boys, you should know that when it comes to putting anybody through a table, we have absolutely no reservations. Nope, not an ounce of a reservation. Was more than happy to do it.
Not any of this, "Oh my God, I might kill my boss." Just go ahead and just do it.
Absolutely not. I am a professional. I know exactly what I'm doing, and putting my boss through a table, actually putting Dixie Carter through a table, was probably the highlight of my TNA career.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of CJ Blaze.
Hello, Bully Ray. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Has there been any talk with you or Dixie Carter and TNA about a working relationship with your wrestling school?
TNA and the Team 3D Academy in Kissimmee, Florida, do not have a formal working relationship. However, some of the wrestlers that are on the roster, some of the up-and-coming wrestlers, do come and use our facilities. Many students from the Team 3D Academy have gone on to work in TNA, guys like Rob Terry, a guy by the name of Chris Melendez, who will be debuting any day now for TNA. He's part of the Wounded Warrior Project. Sam Shuoff was a part of the Team 3D Academy. Many of our students have gone on to work for TNA, also for WWE and Japan, but we do not have a formal working relationship.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of George Ribello from Wrestling.pt. Mr. Ribello, your line is open.
You can move on to the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Joshua Mudbury from American Magazine.
Bully, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Of course, you're back in New York this week for another set of tapings, but at the last set of tapings in New York, the six-sided ring was brought back. Is that something you enjoy, working back in that six-sided ring with TNA?
I'm not partial to the four-side or the six-sided ring, personally. The six-sided ring was unique to TNA since the day it started. I think it gives TNA a different feel, a unique look. So I'm totally cool with TNA having a six-sided ring.
Definitely. And, of course, TNA are taking their biggest pay-per-view of the year to Japan, somewhere you and Devon know very well, as well as other places in the world. What are your thoughts on Bound for Glory taking part in Japan? And do you think we could see a big pay-per-view, like one of the Bound for Glories or Slammiversary, taking place in the UK anytime soon?
Well, I'll take the last part of the question first. I'm sure with all of the great fans that we have in the UK and the great business that we've always done over there with sold out shows. And I think TNA doing a pay-per-view in the UK would be a great idea. As far as Bound for Glory being in Japan, I was very excited to hear about it. TNA's biggest pay-per-view of the year, going to an area of the world in which pro wrestling is probably respected more than any place else. And with me and Devon, Team 3D, being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame, doing it in Japan is a great honor for us. We've been going to Japan for probably over 15 years now and have achieved an incredible level of success there, being the New Japan Tag Team Champions, the All Japan Tag Team Champions, the Hustle Tag Team Champions. So it's going to be a fun event for the entire company, and it's going to be very special for me and Devon.
Definitely. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, buddy.
Yep. The next question comes from the line of George Ribello from Wrestling PT.
Hi, Ray.
How you doing?
Hello?
Yep.
Finally. Thank you. Ray, the past few weeks, we have just been watching the first tapings in New York. And you are now starting to tape the next shows, TNA shows, and I would like to know what can we expect from these tapings?
You can expect the same level of energy and great wrestling that you got from the first set of tapings. Performing in the Northeast, especially New York City, is always great for a wrestling company because the fans are so passionate and they are so into the product. So you can expect to see the same exact thing, TNA wrestlers performing at their highest level.
Oh, thank you. Just a quick follow-up question. Just before I talked to you, I was reading a short interview by Paul Heyman, and he talked about TNA. He said, and I quote, that TNA should move on, especially on a product that you're trying to push forward. And he is, of course, criticizing the fact that TNA is in a kind of a way of nostalgia, revival angle from ECW. And I was wondering if you agree with this or if you think that TNA product might be hurt by this kind of nostalgia angles.
I think Paul Heyman is a very smart man, and he's entitled to his opinion. And if you have any questions that involve him, you should call him.
Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Ansley with Cart and Jerk.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
I've just got it's kind of a two-part question here. I'll start with the first bit. You and Devon have held, I think it's about 25 tag team titles off the top of my head between you, and you're both entering the Hall of Fame later this year. Of all those tag team title reigns, is there one that's, you know, have you got a favorite tag team title reign or one that's particularly memorable to you for any reason?
I get asked the question about what my favorite is a lot, like favorite tag team title or favorite match or favorite place to wrestle. And I always have the same answer. I really don't have a favorite anything because everything has kind of been really great and special. I guess there are things that kind of stick out in your mind, like my first AEW World Tag Team Championship, my first WWE World Tag Team Championship, being the last NWA World Tag Team Champions, being the first TNA World Tag Team Champions, winning all the various belts that we've won in Japan. I'm sure you can see here, like, every reign has been special in one way, shape, or form.
It's not too shabby, is it? And then just to follow on from that, you're going into the Hall of Fame with Devon at Bound for Glory. What is next for Team 3D after that, and B for you?
Well, as far as Team 3D is concerned, I really don't see a lot on the horizon for us, just because we've accomplished everything that there is to accomplish. Me and Devon getting back together for a short amount of time, kind of like Kiss having a reunion tour. The people are really into it. It's special. They want to see it. Right now we have some matches going on with the Hardys. They've gotten back together, and the Wolves, who are the current TNA World Tag Team Champions. So those three teams mixing up is going to be pretty fun. But as far as me and Devon really doing anything past Bound for Glory, I don't think we have any plans as of right now.
Okay, thanks very much.
Again, to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Joshua Mudbury from American Magazine.
Hi, Buddy, again. You've mentioned just now the tag teams, yourself and Devon back together just recently, the Hardys back together and the Wolves. Of course, yourselves and the Hardys are known for the TLC matches in WWE. Do you think we could see a Bound for Glory TLC match with those three teams?
Well, you never say never. I'm really not sure as far as doing another TLC match. Do I think guys like me, Devon, Matt, Jeff, and the Wolves can go out there and do it? Absolutely. But then there's also, you know, on the other hand, every single TLC match that I've been involved in has been better than the last, and they've always topped what we've done. So I'm not quite sure that I want to step on the legacy at all. But, like, you know, you never say never. You could see one of those matches.
Definitely. And, I mean, I know it's quite a touching subject, and I don't know if how much you know about it or how much you could talk about it, but there's a lot going on about TNA and Spike TV going to renew the contract. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And if you could make a plea on behalf of the TNA dressing room to Spike to renew that contract, what would you say?
Well, I wouldn't make a plea at all. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the working relationship between Spike TV and TNA has worked from day one. I mean, both parties have definitely gained a lot. So hold on one second. If I can't hear myself talk, I can't do it. Both parties have gained a lot. I think it's a great working relationship. I would love to see it continue, but I think people are blowing it out of proportion. I mean, this is business, and in business, contract negotiations always come down to the 11th hour. Each side, you know, trying to work out the best possible deal they can. So I'm confident that something will work out, and if something doesn't work out, I'm sure Spike TV and TNA will part amicably, and TNA will probably wind up on another station.
That's great. Thank you so much, Billy.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of David Dunn from NZPWI.
Billy, thanks for taking the time to talk to us all today.
Yep.
A lot of us on the line were involved in a conference call with Rockstar Spud last week. And
I'm very sorry to hear
about
that.
And anyway, he was asked about sort of people that he admires or looks up to in the locker room, and he made a comment along the lines of, had Bully Ray been around in the 80s, that you would be the megastar in professional wrestling today instead of Hulk Hogan. I was just wondering how you feel about being held in such high esteem by the rest of the roster, people like Spud and that, who are sort of coming up through the ranks, looking up to you.
Well, listen, it's always cool when your peers respect you or look up to you. I've always marched to my own tune or whatever that term is. But, you know, I've always said, whether you love me or you hate me, inside of the ring or outside of the ring, you got to respect what I've been able to accomplish in this business, both by myself and, you know, with my partner.
But it's always cool when you hear nice things come out of, you know, the mouths of your coworkers. And, you know, the wrestling business is about passing down of knowledge to the younger guys, and hopefully they can carry, you know, carry the torch and continue to carry the business on. I might not like Spud. He might be a pain in my ass and a fly on the back of my neck, but, you know, he's got a bright future. From the first day I saw him, I said, that kid has the it factor, and he's probably going to be a star one day.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Your next question comes from the line of Ethan Nash from Wrestle Hustle Australia.
Hey, Bully. It's a pleasure to speak with you today, sir. I've been watching you for a number of years in the ring now and have seen, obviously, the development of Bully Ray as a performer. I'm intrigued to know what is next for Bully Ray after professional wrestling. You were talking about your Team 3D Academy and whatnot. Are you going to stick behind the scenes of professional wrestling, or what are your plans for after?
Well, definitely continue with the Team 3D Academy located in Kissimmee, Florida. Continue to turn out quality young wrestlers and help them achieve their dreams of getting into the wrestling industry. As far as sticking around the wrestling business, once I hang up my boots and possibly working behind the scenes, is something that I would love to do. One of the things that I learned working with Paul Heyman and coming up in ECW is my appreciation for helping younger guys learn our craft the proper way and then being able to go out there and execute it. I actually, Paul always told me that he got great enjoyment from seeing young guys go out there and taking his direction and making it work. And I've kind of become like that also. Whenever I give some of the younger guys advice or I help them out with their matches or whatever it might be, to see them go out there and, you know, quote unquote, get over is something that I really enjoy. So I'll probably be sticking around until the day I decide to check out of this wonderful world.
Okay, brilliant. Just one last question, if I may. Obviously, speaking on what you've learned in the wrestling business and your experience, and following on from the Spike TV question, if the contract was decided to not be renewed, what are your thoughts? Do you think the TNA would be affected by moving to another network? Do you think that would hurt the company, obviously not having the TNA Spike image that we've known for so long? Do you think anything would occur that would harm the company from moving to another network?
Well, it would be affected in the same way if any other brand was moved to another network, or if McDonald's started to call themselves McDaniels. You know, whenever you change the name of a product or where you can find a product and you confuse the customer, yes, it's going to cause a little bit of a problem. TNA has been on Spike TV for about 8 or 9 years now, so if we were to move, I'm sure that viewers would be a little bit confused, but that's when it would, the responsibility would lie with TNA and the new network that we were on to create, you know, the proper advertising to let people know where we can be found.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Ansley with Curtain Jerk.
Hello again. This question, well, basically, when I told my friend Scott I would be speaking with Bully Ray, he immediately, for some reason, said, ask him a Star Wars question. So that immediately brought me, in my mind at least, to the lightsaber battle that you had with Balls Mahoney, or I think at the time it was called Cojones, at a Hardcore Justice pay-per-view a few years ago. So the question is, what is the weirdest weapon that you have come across while in wrestling that you've used?
So I guess it would be the lightsaber. I always said to myself, wouldn't it be fun to have a lightsaber battle in the middle of a wrestling match? And I was able to come up with a fun, cool way to do it, and the people ate it up, and it's one of the highlights of my careers.
To this day, it's still one of my favorite things in TNA ever. I absolutely loved it. And I mean, the lightsaber, obviously, is one of the weirdest things, but the thing you're more used to is the table. And you've put quite a lot of people, men, women, children maybe, maybe not children, through tables. Is there a person specifically that has been your favorite person to send through a table?
I guess it would have had to have been actually, it might be Dixie, just because everybody wanted to see it. The entire locker room wanted to see it. Fans wanted to see it. I think the whole wrestling world wanted to see that lady go through a table. Obviously, the most memorable one of all time would be Mae Young, but I think those are the two that stick out the most.
Although
it would be nice to put Vince McMahon through a table one day. I guess people would be sitting up watching that.
I think they would. Well, I can't wait for Impact to see Dixie go through. Thanks for taking my question.
Your next question comes from line of Adam Davey with B2 Journal.
Good evening from Scotland, Billy.
How are you doing?
Great, thanks. Yeah, it's just following on from that question, actually. I've got two things that I wanted to ask you. Obviously, you've been heavily involved in wrestling for God knows how long now. But what do you think of the decision of Impact actually putting a spoiler on this coming show about you putting her through the table? Do you think that was a good move or not?
Well, when you watch other TV shows, whether they're soap operas or quote-unquote reality TV or docudramas or comedy shows, many TV shows show you what's coming the following night or the following week, and you always want to encourage the most amount of people to watch your product at any given time. So I have no problem with TNA showing highlights of what's to come next.
Just following on from that, a few weeks ago on the first New York show, Taz did a blistering promo about the feeling backstage and how it reminded him of when he was in ECW and the look in people's eyes. You were obviously there at that time. Do you agree with his sentiment, or is there any differences at the moment that you see in TNA?
I do appreciate where he was coming from, to see the guys all, you know, amped up and ready to go and, you know, more passionate than ever before, but nothing will ever replicate or duplicate the feeling, the rush that it was like to be in a company like ECW.
That's great. Thanks for your time, Bully.
Your next question comes from the line of CJ Blaze with TNAnews.com.
What do you prefer to work as, a heel or a babyface?
I'm not a heel, and I'm not a babyface. I'm just me. What you see is what you get. Read my other interviews. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Yes, we have time for one more question.
Okay, and the final question comes from the line of Tom Ansley with Curtain Jerk.
It's the final question. So, looking at TNA, if you look at the roster right now, who is the guy that in 5 years' time will be the face of that company? Who is the guy who's going to take TNA on in the next 5 years?
Well, the guy for me, as an in-ring performer, it would have to be Bobby Roode. From a character point of view, a guy like Eric Young. I mean, both of those guys, no matter whether they're, you know, wrestling, talking. I mean, they're incredible, incredible performers, great workers, great athletes, really good, and I always enjoy watching them.
All right, thanks very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
There's no further time for questions. I will now turn the call back over to Ms. Jessica Brown. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.